Welcome to Women's Planning Football.
This podcast is about revealing the truth and breaking down the stigma behind women's football. We're going to talk about the growth of the game, our experiences as young footballers, and our thoughts on female football today. We are Marta,
Rosa,
and Verity.
And this is Women's Planning Football.
First up, let's talk about some major news in women's football recently. Starting off with Kira Walsh going to Barcelona.
Very happy for her.
Me too, because, you know, well, clearly Gareth Taylor's been doing something wrong. Everyone's left.
Yeah, not great to be a City fan at the moment.
No.
Well, maybe that's like the plan, getting loads of new players in.
Yeah, but they've got loads of new players in and they've lost to Aston Villa.
I know. They've literally taken away basically the whole of midfield.
Yeah.
Got a new midfield.
They've got no Georgia Stanwaite, no Kira Walsh, no Caroline Lucy Bronze, Weir. No Caroline Weir, who's doing amazing at her team now.
She's scored a really good goal.
Yeah.
And she also scored a goal which made City get out of the Champions League.
Yeah, that was a bit awkward.
Real Madrid.
Yeah, she got which is City one of the reasons Champions
why,
League.
Which is one of the reasons why Kira Walsh left. Jill Scott, Ellen White.
Yeah, retiring. Mm-hmm. The punctured lung.
Oh, yeah. From the, what was it? Acupuncture, yeah. Someone should be sued for that.
Mm-hmm. WSL's now in FIFA.
Yeah, WSL's now in FIFA.
But poorly,
I'm actually very happy.
Kira Walsh given 83.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's just... Alicia Lehmann is way higher up than I think she should be. That sounds mean.
What is she?
Her rating, she's like really high up.
But I feel like that's a little bit of popularity.
Like, yeah, I know, everyone loves her.
Did she score?
That was a good goal. That was a really good
City.
Goal.
That was a good goal.
But Rachel Daly, Aston Villa.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
I feel like everyone knew that she was really good at scoring for Euston Dash. But like now that she's in WSL, everyone can see how good she is at scoring goals and playing an attack. Which actually,
in front of them.
Yeah, because she's really good in defence, but like I feel like England will waste her a little bit.
Do you think Serena will change her position from left-back?
I don't know. I mean, she like literally started every game in defence. Like, she's that good in defence.
Yeah.
But she scored like 2 goals, and one of them like a really good goal against like one of the best teams in England. Well,
who would be left-back if she got switched?
Alex Greenwood, probably.
Alex Greenwood, yeah, but like, I mean, well, because Ellen went to left, retired, so we have more space up front.
Yeah, so, but then we've got Alessia Russo.
Yeah.
But I always think she's really good off the bench, I can't lie.
I mean, yeah, you can like switch them between. I mean, I think Beth England's very good. Like, I actually feel kind of bad for Beth England.
She's wasted talent because she's just on that team, she hasn't done anything.
I think she should leave Chelsea because she had the best season of her life for Chelsea and she scored such good goals. And then, like, I feel like that was before Sam Kerr really got, like, into the team. And then Sam Kerr came in and, like, was playing so well. And then Beth England's, like, not really able to get into the team. The problem is she's, like, still quite young. So it's not like she's, like, someone like Steph Orton or someone who's, like, coming towards the end of their career and, like, you don't really want... It's like, if you're not getting too much game time, it's fine. Like, just got was at the end of Man City. But, like, this is the time where you want to be, like, playing the best in your career. And if you're not getting game time...
How old is she?
Like, 26, 27, maybe.
Oh, so she didn't like her prime.
Yeah, like, she's not actually that old.
Do you think, and now Steph Horton's back, she'll go back to being captain?
No.
Me neither.
I feel like that was made clear. I hope she gets back into the squad, to be honest.
Being back in the squad and then not being the captain,
yeah,
which
but
she's
been not
like
even
8 years
squad,
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, even that Instagram post she made, like, I feel like she was, like, happy for Leah. And I feel
she
deserves
it. She's definitely
it.
Happy for Leah.
But, like, I feel like she's still probably quite, like,
she's
still
played with Leah since
probably
she was
quite
little.
Lot. Yeah, but, like, I feel like it still probably is quite hard.
The start of the WSL season recently. All right, so 2 major shocks. Chelsea lost to Liverpool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And Liverpool have only just come out and, like, been promoted from the championship, so it's a big shock.
Chelsea won.
And then Aston Villa have beaten Man City. Aston Villa beating Man City wasn't actually that much of a shock with all the losses Man City
have
had.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit, but...
Yeah.
Even though I know Chelsea lost, and the Chelsea that we saw last season would have won.
Yeah, they would have smashed them.
But, like, it's not like a big loss. But in terms of, like, for City, letting in 4 goals is not good at all.
No. Because they were losing 2-0. They got the comeback, but then they still lost. But I think it's just been so split apart.
Yeah.
It's been so jumbled up. They don't know how to play together. And it's
like,
just a bit of a
Because the midfield is just, like, completely turned over.
Yeah.
That always happens with a new team. You know, that it could be the start of something great. What about the Spanish team? What do we think about that? They're refusing to play because of what?
Well, there's like a list of things which before they like they wrote a letter and it was kind of affecting their like physical and emotional health and also just their playing, like the decisions of the coach. And it was like a whole long list of things. And basically they wanted like them to be changed. And then the coach like, refused to do anything.
Is this like the manager or is it?
The manager.
Oh, okay. So they just want him sacked, pretty much.
Well, they actually didn't say they want him sacked. They do probably, but like they said in their interview that they just want to change. That doesn't mean that the coach has to be sacked. They just want what they've asked for to be listened to, thing for them, yeah. Probably.
Who would take over as the coach, do you reckon?
No, you know, I heard something about Emma Hayes.
Really?
Emma Hayes?
She can't leave Chelsea.
No, I know, but she said in an interview her dream is to coach Spain one day.
Really?
But I don't think she will. But
that's
like,
very unlikely. Why Spain?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think she will.
Maybe she's got Spanish roots.
No, but there is also one thing about the Spain thing. One of the problems is how the Spain coach, like manager, he runs the Federation of Spain, so he has like control over himself, basically.
Oh yes, yeah, so it's quite hard.
He's like his own boss.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So like, it's not like in England. If you wanted Serena Wiegmann to go, then it'd be a lot easier because she's not her own boss. So people have control of her if she starts doing bad decisions. But in Spain, it's not like that.
But so luckily, no one wants her to go.
No one
she's
wants her
best
to go.
Coach we've had. Last time we were here, it was just before the Euros final, and England have gone and won it. So everyone's
gone
thoughts?
And won. Yeah. What do you think about the two goals?
Well, just amazing.
Yeah. What do you think about the first goal, Verity?
I think it was very good.
Even though you missed it because you were in the toilet.
When your body cools, your body cools. I could hear the whole crowd. Like I was walking to the toilet and I heard the stadium erupt.
Did you like cheer?
I didn't even get to the toilet, so I was like, well, I might as well go to the toilet now.
Fine, it was a bit of a jam.
I heard everyone
anyway.
Shouting because it was Ella Toon, like Toon, but it always sounds like they're booing.
Yeah, very good assist from Kira Walsh.
We love it. That was such it a was good great. Pass. It was in the replays. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was.
She's the most underrated player.
Yeah. Really?
Another underrated player, actually. Sorry to go off subject, but Lotte Wubbemoy. She's very underrated. Because we've already got two really strong centre-backs, you know, Leah Williamson and Millie Bright.
She's really good.
Like, we've got really good centre-backs, so there's no need to change what isn't, like, if it is working, there's no need to change
that
it.
She was considered, like, the worst on the squad, I think.
I don't know. She's not even been starting Arsenal
maybe
games.
Not the worst. Like, I think she was, like the newest.
Yeah, but I feel like you have players. I mean, she made the Olympics.
She was the one to get them all to write that letter.
Was she?
Yeah, she was
the letter to
the letter to talk about how girls need at least like an amount of PE at school and stuff
really,
like that.
She's really
she organised it. She was the one who asked them all to write the letter.
And her boyfriend also is like a professional
cyclist. Yeah.
Theo Jogenhart.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the Euros. What do you think is gonna change since this has happened for women's football?
Well, I know there's now a lot more people that are getting into women's football. Like, I have a few close friends that are now starting to really get into it, and like, yeah, they've been like watching all the games, and like they know stuff about all the players.
Ticket sales have gone up massively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have
records broken. Yep. Tottenham Arsenal game today, London derby.
Also, little thing to add to Marta's point is just about like more people getting involved. I think there's also a little bit of a problem because if you go on like Instagram or TikTok or social media, there's a lot of like, I feel like there's a lot of people who were fans of women's football before the Euros, and then they're like getting annoyed at people for like new fan accounts or becoming new fans after the Euros.
Yeah.
And I feel
is that not what you would want? Because the game to be as big as the men's game.
All the players
so
are
you can't
complain
about
legacy,
like,
new people to enjoy it. But so you can't just be like, no one can join.
But people gatekeep, really.
If no one got into football, then there'll be no one to play in the future teams.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it's a bit selfish in a way because it's like, do you know, it's like it's not just about the whole point of the women's football is to grow the game and to get more people into it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They're like, well, I was into something that was really like underground.
People do that with bands.
Yeah,
as well.
Like bands. Yeah, when you're a big fan of an underground band,
before it becomes popular,
and you get really annoyed.
I guess
that was like my dad. You know, he used to wear Vans all the time, And then, like, for his whole life, he's only worn Vans. Then when they became really mainstream, my dad was like, oh, all these people wearing Vans nowadays. Oh, why can't they just let the people like us have Vans? I was like, but Dad, you don't own, like, there's more than one pair of Vans in the world.
Yeah. But I think they were just annoyed because they can't get tickets anymore because more people are actually watching the game.
Including myself. But yeah.
But I might have some spare tickets for you, Rosa, don't worry.
But I think, like, these people who, like, because before, like, not very long ago, if you want to speak about, like, football with anyone, you have to speak about men's football. You can't speak about women's football.
Yeah.
And, like now, like, I really enjoy speaking about women's football to people who actually know about it. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, surely they want that. Like, they want people to be into it and stuff. And, like, I feel like maybe something that is one of the reasons though is because, like, women's football has quite, like, a personal level to it. Like, you know the players, you know their personality, you don't just know how they play on the pitch.
The atmosphere at games is so much better than a men's games. It's like so much like less, there's so much less like harassment and just like anger and stuff, and it's just like loads of families and it's just great.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to my RE teacher about like women's football, and the first thing he said was, oh yeah, I brought my daughter to the game and she absolutely loved it. And I wanted to take her to a men's game, actually. And I didn't know anything about women's football, but I knew I couldn't take her to a men's game, so I took her to a women's game. And it was actually brilliant. Like, I didn't expect it to be that good.
Yeah.
And then now they go, like, every other weekend or
like
something.
That can make more people want to go to women's games because it's, like, it's a completely different thing. It's, like, when you go to a men's game, it's swearing, these people getting angry. And, like, it's, like, you can be passionate for wanting a team to win, but, like, it's like when that becomes like a bad thing, like you don't really want that. But like if people actually want to just go for a football match just for the enjoyment, then they can go to a women's game.
Yeah.
And like that's not, you don't really want to lose that, because like as more people, like as more crowds come, you want to make sure that stays the same.
Haters say that the reason that women's football is like they're getting sellout stadiums is because the tickets are cheaper. But like it's more accessible for people because like, you can only go to men's game if you've got enough money and you can't go often, so you can't support your team. But with the women's game, it's a lot more accessible for more people, so more people can come and enjoy the games.
But still, like, there's a few, like, really, like, arrogant people that just think, but it's not, like...
Trying to make excuses to hate women's football.
Yeah, the excuses, like, maybe they can't go to a men's game, and, like, as you're saying, it's more accessible to go to a women's game, so you could suggest it to them, and they'd just be like... They wouldn't even go there.
They don't even think it's football.
Yeah, they don't think it's football at all.
With the price of tickets, it's like, it's really good that it's cheap. But the only problem is like, as the game develops, you still want to make sure that the players are getting enough money, because like players in like smaller clubs are literally living on like less, like so little money and having to like share houses and stuff because they can't afford. So like you want to get, because men's is just really overly priced, but you want to get it somewhere like, it's like, well, you can go every week and it's like not that much, but like also, or maybe even like, maybe people can get a season ticket, but if it's like not too much, but like, you want the players to be making enough money as well as it to be accessible.
Yeah, that's what they need to do is what they're doing now, basically charging cheap so they fill stadiums, and then once they start filling the stadiums, up the prices a bit more, maybe like charge more for like pint of beer or something, and then
it's
like,
already pretty expensive. I paid £3.50 for a bottle of water. I was fuming.
If they can make it, if they make it like relatively cheap, as long as they're getting a view, like getting people watching on like on TV, then that can help make money.
TV is quite important.
One problem though is it's harder to sell more tickets because there's less tickets to sell because they're playing in smaller stadiums. Because like they're playing at the academy stadiums, they're not playing at the full stadiums.
But if they were playing at like, so like when you go to like, because we live in Brighton, when you go to like watch Brighton Women, sometimes they play at the Amex, and it's not full, like it's like quite empty. Yeah. And it's not like the same feeling as when you go to like, because they also play at the People's Pension Stadium, and like obviously it's a smaller stadium, it's not Brighton, it's not like what you really want for a women's game, but when you go there it's like a nice feeling, everyone's like close.
When England played Austria in the qualifiers, they were like, Ian Wright was saying how disappointing it is that they were playing in such a small stadium right after they won the Euros. And it's like...
Yeah, for England, you don't want to...
Two steps forward, one step back.
Did you see that thing of the people in the water slide watching the game?
Yeah, I saw that when it was on TV.
Me too. Yeah. It's funny. But, like... But then we've had Old Trafford with Man United playing a game at Old Trafford being completely sold out.
Yeah.
So it's just like... Yeah. Just depends, really.
Yeah,
it's a bit hit and miss.
Because you don't what you don't want is to have too big a gap between a big top teams and a lower teams, because suddenly like these players who like won the Euros and stuff, they're getting so much money, and compared to some players who got like struggling to get enough to eat.
Yeah.
And like you don't want to you want to make sure that like the whole teams are progressing.
Yeah, you want to make sure that everyone doesn't have to work the extra job so that they can also get better at football.
Yeah. Because like sometimes people were like, oh, I'm doing good in football, I'm helping, I'm putting like Leo Williamson's face on like Walker's crisps or something like that. But it's like, that's of course that's really great for like England and for Leo, but like what about all the other players who are not getting any of this? Like that, if you want to help the development for women's football, you need to like help the lowest team there is.
I think the Championship is very underrated because it's only like the next league below and it's barely ever televised on the TV, and when it is, it'll probably be on some channel no one's got, you know?
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult to be like to access it because it's not there and you can't watch it, so no one's interested in it.
Yeah. And like there's quite a lot, I feel like, with women's football especially, if you want to watch it from Championship or abroad, like from the Spanish league or whatever, then they're all on different TV and stuff.
Like I had to watch the Arsenal game on the Arsenal website. I know. It was the only place I could watch it.
They very hard to access.
It's like, in men's football, they don't have that. Like, they make sure that there's always like a good place you can watch everything. But in women's football, you can't like find anywhere to watch it, or you have to search for hours, and some things are like...
Go on some dodgy website.
Yeah, or you have to spend money on it, and you don't want to spend money on like one match, whatever. And like... It's kind of, they just need to make like a good place to watch these things.
Yeah.
Because then you've got the FA player, which is really good to watch games. But I don't know if you can, but I haven't worked out a way to get it onto the TV.
Mm-mm.
So I have to watch it on my phone. Also, which is quite difficult.
The problem with the FA player is it's like, if it's on TV, someone turns on their TV, it's right there. And they're like, oh, it's football's on. FA player, you have to know about it.
Yeah, you have to download the app and sign up.
Yeah, you have to know about when the match is.
And if the match is. Like, say you wanted to watch it out and about. If the match is on the telly, you can only listen to it live. You can't watch it live as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then sometimes it's just on some channel no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, so we definitely need more coverage. Okay, so I have a question to ask. What do you think about men's teams giving money to women's teams to help support their growth?
I think, well, it would be good. You know, try to make equal pay more achievable. But then again, the men would be very angry about that. Mainly the fans, I would say. They would definitely have some problems with that.
I think there's a lower problem, though, because if the men's team start... Obviously, like, you want the women's team to invest and you want the women's team to get more money, and I completely agree with that. The only problem with the money coming from the men's team is, if you think about it, let's say, like, a team like Man City or even, like, a team like Brighton... Their men's teams are in the Premier League, so the men's team have a lot of money. But a team like Lewis, who is in the Championship, who is like doing what they're not gonna like drop out of the Championship, but they're not gonna get promoted. But they're like in the Championship, and they earn the club more money, like more profit than the men's team do. So if the men's team couldn't give them any money, so suddenly you get the teams with the men's team who have a lot of money going high up the league, and then teams who men's team don't have a lot of money or don't have any money will be lower. And then if, for instance, Lewis were to win the Championship and get promoted to the WSL, there would be such a big difference in teams that they would just have to go straight down, and suddenly it means that almost the lower teams with the lower men's teams are left behind.
I mean, there could almost be a sort of like communist like pool of money taxes.
They all get a certain amount of money and they can all spend it on whoever they want.
Yeah, like they could charge taxes to the clubs that make the most money, like Arsenal men's team or something, and then they could like all put that in like a government pool of money and then give it out to all the teams evenly.
I think what you really want to kind of happen is like the teams like Lewis Women or whatever, to almost the teams like not to have to lie on the men's team, to the women's game be separate. And it's like, when you start having teams so like closely related to the men's team, it gets to a point where like it's almost like just the teams off the men team. The men team are the main team and these women teams are on the side. And you kind of don't want to have that. So if, for instance, like the Premier League donated some money to the WSL and then they gave that money to the teams to help them develop, then once they start making their own profit and then they stop having to rely on men's team.
Just saying, like, theoretically, there could be taxes on, and then they could give it out evenly.
Yeah, and that's what I think, like, the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they could take, like, money from Arsenal men's team and give it to, like, Reading women's team or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Arsenal men's team would do that?
No, no, obviously not. Just saying, as a concept, I know it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, Reading's an example, actually. Reading's an example in a WSO team who are doing pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they would get low, suddenly. Yeah. Just because of the men's team, which kind of seems unfair. All their history of getting to this level of football, and they've worked hard to get here, and they're actually a pretty good place, and maybe in a few years' time, they might even, like, make top three, or maybe four or five, and they're doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. If suddenly it becomes about how rich your men's team is, they would bounce to quite low in the table. And then that means that, like, all this work that the players have done is, like, all gone because the men's team's rich.
Should we talk about the World Cup next year?
Yeah.
All right, well, who do we think is going to win?
England.
America.
Oh.
USA.
You didn't really say that, did you?
You actually think America's going to win?
No, no, no.
Well,
no,
we'll
no.
see once we play that game.
America, not winning.
USA
sorry, not
versus
winning.
England.
Someone who's not going to win at this rate is Spain.
What, with 15 players dropping out?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm excited for that game because it's going to be a real grudge match, because you know that when we lost to them in the World Cup a couple years ago, and
we haven't played. When we lost 2-1? Last time we played was in the She Believes Cup, actually.
Yeah.
It was like 2020.
Until we got stopped getting invited.
Didn't we get, because we got too good for them. Then we lost like 3-0 or something.
I can't remember, to be honest.
We did.
Top five teams that could win it.
Well, England. Obviously.
Okay.
We've got to put USA.
We've got to put USA up there. Obviously not Spain anymore.
What else?
Yeah, I mean, Spain, like, is a maybe.
Spain, if everything goes back to normal, then Spain.
Yeah.
What do you think about, like, Australia?
They're
good.
They have home advantage.
And they've got, yeah, they've got home advantage.
But I feel like the only thing really carrying them is, like, Sam Kerr. And then, like, they have a few players, like...
They've got Hayley Russo and Alana Kennedy.
Ellie Carpenter.
They did win the Olympics, but that was...
Well, England have got so much stronger since then. Okay,
Australia didn't win the Olympics.
No, but they beat us.
Oh yeah,
they won against us.
Oh yeah, no, they didn't win. They didn't win the Olympics.
But they beat us. That's what I thought you were talking about.
But like Canada.
Oh yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, we lost to Australia. In the Olympics.
You know what? Canada. Actually, I feel like Canada. Sweden.
Sweden. Well, apart from back heel goal, Alessa Russo.
Yeah.
We would never let that happen to us.
How about Germany?
Germany, well, Alex Pop will probably be back.
Germany, actually.
Oh,
Germany were good in the Euros. I think, well, obviously they were good in the Euros, but like...
I think they were right, yeah.
It's
right.
I think genuinely Germany could win it.
Yeah?
But obviously they won't. They could win it, but they won't win it because England...
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Before you go, we'd like you just to think, now that you've listened to our podcast, is there anything you could do to help the growth of women's football?
One example is supporting your local team.
Or maybe watching it on TV.
Or maybe you could start up a girls' grassroots team.
Yeah. Or put your daughters in grassroots teams.
Encouragement is key.
Or just be aware of how you're comparing girls football and boys football, or women's football and men's football.
Yeah, think about how you talk about women and women in sport.
Yeah,
and keep an open mind.
Be an advocate for women's football.
Be an ally. All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.